Tonight's study is going to be study two in our study on wisdom. And today's date is July the 17th, 2019. And we're going to basically be in Proverbs tonight, because you can't have a study on wisdom without going to Proverbs for at least some of it, because, of course, you know, that's the gift that God gave to Solomon, wisdom. And so, you know, this is where the great majority of it is. So bear with me, and we'll open with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, as we come again tonight, Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be with our friends and to share with the saints a little portion of your word. And we pray that we rightly divide it as we go along, Lord, and that we only say what you give us to say through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we'd ask you to guide and bless as we open this hour, and thank you for that opportunity. Guide and bless, in Christ's name we ask you. Amen. Okay. Study 2, page 869, if you are using the Companion Bible, but it's Proverbs 4. We're going to pick up the entire chapter of Proverbs 4, and this is 3 and 4 has kind of been placed together in the structure of that we find in the Companion Bible, and it's called the Wisdom's Call. And in chapter 4 deals with a mother's aspect toward wisdom concerning her son and concerning the things that the father might say or that the Lord might give. And you know, as I said earlier, let me get a little closer. Wisdom is a gift of God, and that is generally provided by the Holy Spirit. And it, you know, it was either in the Old Testament, it was either with or upon, but in the New Testament, it basically was after the death of Christ, it was within. It can't come from, or is given from, within an individual. And another thing that we learned about it was the fact that that wisdom is told us last week in our study that the main thing about wisdom was to understand and to fear God. And you know, I think that was said for a couple of reasons. And when God made Adam and placed him in the garden, and he took Eve from Adam and for a helpmate, or a companion, if you will, they could hear God, but they couldn't see God, because God was spirit and they were mortals. They were people that weren't constructed in that manner, or had that manner of being to where they could have that association with God at that point. But along came one that they could see, and he showed up to Eve, and he could talk. You know, he had a lot of the attributes that man had, but he didn't look like, evidently didn't look like man, because in Ezekiel we find that it says he was in the garden of God, and we're going to get there one of these days. But the fact was that his covering was all of the beautiful stones of the earth. And that was his covering. And that's what stood him out from the rest of the angelic order. And it gave him, it was kind of like the medals that's on a captain or an admiral or a general or whatever. It was the insignia of power and someone that was in charge. And so with the shining one, and he wasn't a snake, and was never a snake, but the fact was that some of the attributes that God gave him was kind of snake-like in the sense of when the curse was put on him for what he had done to defile this new people that were going to have dominion on the earth. It appeared that way, in a sense. And so, you know, that's why sometimes he's called the old serpent or whatever, because of the attributes or the accolades that was put to him, because he was, I think, the prime minister of the angelic order. And he was the go-between between the Godhead and the angelic order. And all of the angels now were I guess in a sense, because they were not sexual beings, so but they talk about him or them or in that sense. So I'm not sure that Satan, when he saw the helpmate of Adam, which was Eve, I don't think he had ever seen anyone that had the ability to recreate, because the angelic order did not have that ability to recreate. They were created, but they were at the disposal of the Creator. And the one thing I think that Satan was not given, he was beautiful and he was wise. He was so wise till he became, or tried to become, more than God had made him to be. And so he wanted to take the place of the Son of God. So God said, no, that's not going to work. I'm not going to have that. So in that sense, you have the two sides that's drawn, and the enmity that God placed between them. It was always a warfare, and still is in that respect. But the one thing that Satan didn't fully understand, and he never did until it was too late, was the fact of resurrection. He had seen people, evidently, or knew of people that God had brought back, or that Christ had brought back on the earth, that they were brought back to what they had before. And he knew nothing of an out or an out resurrection to that extent that he produced through his son when his son took the sins of mankind. And when God raised him from the dead, Satan says, uh-oh, I've messed up. Now, I've really messed up. So he has known since that time, for over 2,000 years, he has lived with his real big boo-boo that he had there. And so, because had he known, he was instrumental in getting Christ on the cross to die. And he thought if he's dead, that would be the end of it. And so therefore he would have a chance. But Christ rose again. So the empty tomb is really our great hope and concern. But the fact is that mankind knew from the beginning to fear God because of his great power that he had. But also that God is love. But it took quite a while for man, or a long time for man to understand that God was working his love out through his son. Because with all the laws and everything that went on, all that pointed us to something that was to come down the road that he would do through his son that would give us this eternal fame that Satan didn't understand in resurrection. Let me get a swig of water. Okay, Proverbs 4:1, and we'll get started. We're going to read the entire chapter, and you will see here in portions of this, I think, where it says she, or it relates to someone that would be talking about a son and their father, or the son's father. And so she here represents the world. The world is a producer. And the she's of the world are producers. They can produce like kind. And so, you know, when you get a takeoff of what's being said here, when it's she or feminine, then it is there to produce something. And when we talk, we are producing words that we can understand one another, or that we can make agreements or disagreements, or make war, make love, or whatever goes. You know, that's the way that works. So represents the world given for man to have dominion, and he was to have full control of what God had made for him and said it was good. And what wasn't good was the hand of Satan, or the old serpent, or whatever you want to call him, the Nakash that says, I'm going to get involved in this. And when he does, certainly it is. And it also gives you some understanding of a mother's love. And it may not be something that just jumps right out at you, but as we read through this fourth chapter, think about that as we go through. 4:1 says, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. So here the children are sons, and the understanding is for correction. or admonishing or to show love toward you that a father could show or a mother could show, that would, that you would learn from it, right or wrong. So it says, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding, or how this understanding of what's right and what's wrong, because that's a father and a mother's job to do. It always has been. He says, for I give you good doctrine. And it says, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me also. And I think we can add there, he also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. And that's a full stop there. So whether it be your earthly father speaking to you, or whether it be your heavenly father speaking, it says, keep my commandments and live. So this again goes back to the knowledge and the understanding that God is in control and he has the power of life or death. And so he says, keep my judgments and live. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And of course, you will see the word not only of mouth in these proverbs, but you will see it being mentioned as lips or tongue, or the mouth, or, you know, the variations of all, or all of these, because that is how we make sense of each other and how we get along with each other. He says, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Talking about mom here, or a mother's love. It says, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And here's another full stop. And with all that getting, get understanding. You know, wisdom is one thing, to know how. But understanding is something else. Understanding is the use of knowing how. And a lot of people, we call them by different names, but the big deal with that is that they don't use wisdom with some kind of an understanding to where it will keep them out of trouble or keep them from stepping across the line or missing the mark of God. And so this is what they're talking about here. Wisdom's the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. and the years of thy life shall be many. It seems like what's being said here is, or could be, discerned as some sort of a threat. But it's not a threat, it's just good advice, because that's the difference between wisdom and understanding. Wisdom has its rewards, so to speak, in that term. So that the life, that thy life shall be many. And it says in verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold on instructions, and let her not go. Because, you know, wisdom, learning, admonishment, instructions, all these things is part of wisdom. And it takes the whole group, and discernment to really get a real grasp on what's being said here in this sense. Take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, but turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you know, we talk about our heart and how we confer to it many things about what goes on in our life, the things that we love, the things that are joyful or that we enjoy, or the wonderful things that God has given us to understand. And these are the issues of life that he's talking about. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. There again is the lips of, you'll see it in a lot of the Proverbs, because, you know, it's the mouth that gets us into problems for the most part. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. And it says also to remove thy foot from evil. And back up there in 24, the word froward is, I think it's kind of a takeoff from forward, something that we might try to put out front, a forward mouth, a froward mouth, and perverse lips. So the froward mouth and the perverse lips kind of go along together to make up that what I would call a foul mouth, so to speak. So that's what's being said there in chapter 4. And I'd like for you to turn next to Proverbs 9 and 10. And Proverbs 9 and 10 deals with man's mouth and mind. And man's mouth and mind can either be wisdom from God. If he's following God, it can be the wisdom of God, or it can be evil that comes forth out of man. And judgment is the person with wisdom, then judgment is the discernment here, that we should judge what man says or does accordingly, whether it's of God or of Satan. Because this, again, is a situation that we found ourselves in, being fallen objects because of Satan and him coming forth to Eve in the garden with the beauty that he had used upon her, I think, in that sense. So man's mouth and mind is can be full of either God or full of evil. 9:9. We're going to look at verse 9. 9:9 through 18. And 9 it says, give instructions to a wise man, and he will yet be yet wiser. And teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And here again is something that we need to really grasp. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Full stop. Because man was made lower than the angels. And so when you place God above both of them, man is fearful of things that he can't see sometimes. And so we started out with a little bit of a situation that we didn't really know how to deal with that well. So the knowledge of the holy is understanding the rest of that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, he says, thy days shall be multiplied. So here again is not so much of a warning as it is a fact. Now, a lot of people can take that as a warning, but it's truly a fact. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. For by me the days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Who is simple, let him turn in thither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So that's two parts there. Part of it is wisdom, and then the other part of that is a foolish woman. So you see, you got wisdom there, and also the evil comes from man or the woman, which is lumped together in the same, in this life that we live in. So, and then let's go to 10 and look at verses 11 through verse 32. I'm sorry. And it carries on. Proverbs here carries on. It said the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So someone who knows God and someone that knows what their purpose here is concerning God, he says, this man is a well of life. It's like, you know, you can draw water and draw water and draw water. And if you don't have water, you don't have life. And so this is a representation of life, is this water in this well. It talks about a righteous man is a well of life. He has within him this living water, if you will, that will give you understanding. He says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Full stop. But love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Rod there is, from what I understand, it is something like you would beat somebody with. In that sense, and it says, you know, Paul says, a cat of nine tails, I was beaten with 30 or 40 stripes, save one, because they thought he was, they thought what Paul was saying, that he had lost all of his understanding. But on the other hand, Paul was the one that knew what was truth. and what was right. It says, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. So he don't give you the one hand here, he gives you the other hand. We're going to the end of the chapter here. He is in the way of life that keepeth instructions, but he that refuses reproofs heareth. And he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth they slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the want of wisdom. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is a sport to be a fool and do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. You know, I think that's a good saying too. Somebody that jokes around. We call him a good sport or a bad sport, but a lot of times it starts off as being just a joke or something like that, but it turns into mischief. It turns into something that can hurt or kill. In that sense, it says, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Another full stop. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The ways of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue, here again is that word froward. I didn't look up froward, but I'm going to, shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness, or in great amounts. I guess I did look it up, but I didn't write it down. I looked it up sometime or other. It might have not have been recently, but my notes there says that I looked it up, that it means in great amounts. So that's what deals with man's mouth and man's mind. It can be for wisdom or from God, or evil from man. But here's judgment that should be brought forth accordingly that we understand. Which class it falls under. And we'll do one more. Let's go to Proverbs 14. And verses 1 through 35, I guess that's the full chapter also. Now, there's two things here that this chapter deals with in Proverbs. Chapter 14, that I can't get the pages apart. There we go. Yeah.
You get them sausage fingers like mine, that's your problem.
Yeah. And it's here, 14 is the difference between the wise and the foolish. And also the rich and the poor. So, this chapter deals with the two things as we go along. And there's two or three things here we want to deal with. And then on over in Proverbs, we're going to deal with, personal character and personal search and personal proving. Because with the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, he didn't leave anything out. It's basically all here. Everything that you would need to know. Some of it we'd have kind of, moved over. We talked about, a mother or a good woman before, but then right behind that, it talks about a foreign woman. And here, or back then, a foreign woman was one who could lead you off into idolatry and other things very easily. And, I didn't feel like that was as necessary now as it was in the day it was written, because we're confronted with everything now here. You're utterly bombarded with it all day from all the medias and everything. But in 14 of Proverbs it says this: every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despise him. And look at this. There's a full stop between each of these first parts of these verses. The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxens are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies, and that's what basically they're there for. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. And you see, this, I think, is the basis of the entire scripture. These people that seek wisdom all their life, and they never find it. And they might be sitting there with the Word of God in their hand or in their lap or in front of them on a table. I've got kinfolk that's that way. It says, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. If God has given you the ability to understand what he has written, then there is something somewhere that's guiding you into that. And if it's God's gift, it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whether it be upon or be in. Either way, that's truth. It says in verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. This is where you can be a judge in the sense of what's right and wrong. Or whether it is that you want to have an association with the individual or not. But it says the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. You may not agree with him, but you can understand where he's headed or where he's going. You can understand his walk is not the walk that God wants him to walk in. It's the walk that he wants to walk in himself, or the way that he wants to walk in his own pleasures. There's two ways in the Old Testament. And I did a study on it for a long, long time, and it was Yolak and Halak. And Halak is the way that man wants to go on his own. And Yolak is the way that God sends you.
Yep. And it's not always the same path.
No, and certainly those that you come in contact with should be able to see and know and discern
which path
you're on. Okay?
And you should as well be able to discern their path.
Right. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. But the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin. They don't. You know, that's not for me, it's for everybody else. But among the righteous there is favor. Oh, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermingle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Well, I don't know. You know, this is really food for thought. It just seems to, if you take time to stop and look at it in terms of wisdom, it's something else. And okay, we're going to the end of the chapter. I just about got time. The backslider in the heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well into his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated, even of his own neighbor. But the rich hath many friends. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? That's a question. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall to them be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And it means to be in want. The crown of the wise is their riches, and the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful weak witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
It's rushing to judgment or rushing to conclusions.
Yeah. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Oh, do we know that? But envy, the rottenness of the bones. You know, I've got in one of my books at home in my notes that hatred is the device that eats up that holds it. And if you've got hatred in you, then it'll eat away at you. Huh. To a point where it will do you in.
Destroys the vessel that
it contains. It destroys the very vessel that contains it.
Yeah.
And that's certainly true. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he that honors him, or honors the maker, has mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. So that's good advice all the way through. Real good advice that we need sometimes to just stop and read and get an understanding of it. So we went on for just about our time limit.
I think 33 is wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. You ever heard that one where it says, better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what that's, where that came from.
And to know that that's the way it is.
Yeah, so that which is in the middle of the fools is made known. Why? Because they're telling you.
Well, Solomon in his wisdom, and we talked about this in the beginning of the study, which you wouldn't hear, but it talks over and over about the tongue, about the lips, about the mouth, or the froward mouth,
mm-hmm.
and all of these things that, because this is how we converse with one another. This is how we...
It can be the spout of knowledge or the spout of ignorance.
Either way.
Yeah.
And Satan uses the same devices, in a sense that God uses, but he does it with a slant of evil
and deception.
Involved in it, and deception rather than truth.
Agreed.
And understanding. And you can have wisdom and not really know how to use it. And I think the truth of that is that if you're given the wisdom to understand it and decide not to, then you're in worse shape than you was ever before. Because then your deception, well, we'll talk about it next week. Remember this. And remember, if you ever heard somebody say it, I said to myself.
Yeah.
When you do that, you leave God out of your plan and your purpose. And you know, you and I have always heard it said, if you want to hear God laugh,
tell him what your plan is. Yeah.
And I think this boils down to that very specific thing, that people that are not thinking clearly will say, well, I said to myself, if you have to convince yourself of something, then you better think about it again.
Or if that's where you're getting all your instruction from.
Yeah, or at least get a grip on where you're getting all your information.
That's a good point.
To that sense. It's in here. We'll talk about it again. We'll talk about it next time.
Sorry I missed. We finally got the conference over with.
Well, that's the way it goes. But we went over a lot of these in Proverbs. We've still got one or two left to go. So with that, and then we're going to get into Ecclesiastes a little bit, and then we're going to move on to Ezekiel and to other places. But as we go along in the scripture, we see that God has given to us understanding and a way to understand it if we will look to him for instructions and for directions. Because, you know, if God is going to admonish you to do something, then he is going to instruct you the right way to do it.
Amen.
And so part of learning all this, and this is what Paul was trying to get those people in Hebrews to get a grasp on, that God's laid out all this stuff for us, and that, you know, we need to follow what he has said. It's kind of like aiming a gun. The whole world's out there, but if you choose to point it at one particular thing, then you better know that that's what it is you're aiming at. Because the rest of it, in God's view, is to miss the mark.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you need to know what it, you need to know what his aim and purpose is, that you and I will not miss the mark that God has set before us with. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the opportunity to come again and run a few of this missus. We'll call it a day and thank everybody that come this way tonight, and hope that you got something from it.